chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This ought to be familiar to some of our kids. We're going to be reading verse number 12 down to verse 28. How many of you young folks have this memorized? I got one back there. Oh, I see two. Sort of? Okay. All right. Got a few that are there. All right. Jenna, you don't have this memorized? What's the big holdup, girl? You have 2 days. 2 days. You got to get that done. Got it? Okay. All right. You say, she's just a little girl. She'll memorize it. It's incredible what kids can do when they're turned on to the idea. Amen? Oh, this is our memory work for this month, or this not this month, the four-week period that we do in our school time. And I want to preach from this tonight. Chapter number 5, verse number 12 down to verse 28. And let's read this together. Begin verse 12. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for your word. We pray you might bless and work in each of our hearts. I ask you, oh God, to speak to us tonight, and we'll give you praise and honor in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. This epistle ends with a series of commands. And really, I believe these commands reveal to us the true spirituality of any Christian. Let's think about that word spirituality for just a moment. Spirituality being that quality of being led of the Spirit of God. And it shows itself as we are obedient to the revealed truth that is in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God does not lead us contrary to God's Word. Matter of fact, He's the author of it, and He leads us into its truth. And so as we're brought into its truth, and we are being led by that truth, we are being obedient to that truth. And so that is where spirituality is at. Some people say, well, I'm really spiritual-minded, but I just don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other thing. Hold on a minute. How can you be spiritual and not follow the dictates of the Word of God? Not being led of the Spirit to follow the truth of the Word of God. Now, as we look here, we find some tremendous things that he speaks of. And I think a whole lot of it has to do with our attitude. Attitude's important, don't you believe? Attitude is very important. And so we find right off the bat as we look here in verse number 12 and 13, it's talking about our attitude toward those who are over us in the Lord. And we could put pastor there, we could put teacher there, but he says that we know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. To have a good attitude towards those who are over you. Folks who have bad attitude toward their pastor, either he's a jerk or you know, in some cases, we're in bad shape with the Lord. So we need to have a good attitude toward. Notice verse number 13. It has two sentences. Well, it's a remainder of one from verse 12. But at about two-thirds of the way down, it starts a new sentence with "and." And it says, "and be at peace among yourselves." Isn't that interesting? He puts that together with having esteem for leadership within a church. So here we have an attitude towards leadership, and also then we find an attitude towards other believers. What's our attitude towards them? Well, verse 14 and 15 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." We know that's all other people but ourselves. We're just teasing a little bit, but seriously, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil in any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Have an attitude, especially towards believers, that is a good attitude. Now, sometimes that's difficult to do, isn't it? Sometimes there's believers that are just kind of reprehensible in their attitude towards us and their ways and so forth, but all that we might have the power of God to overcome those kinds of things. Having a right attitude toward other believers. Attitude within. Notice verse 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice how often? When? Just when we feel good? No, it says forevermore. Just when things are going good? By the way, in life, how many things go good? I heard somebody say today, "Boy, it's a great day when it doesn't rain or snow." But without rain or snow, we're going to have a pretty bad way of it around here. The river will dry up. It'll be kind of hard to drink if we don't have any rain. And snow's good, too. It kind of sticks around there, whitens everything up in the wintertime, makes you appreciate when it's summer. Amen. How many love snow? Well, let me rephrase that a little bit. You like snow? Okay. Some of you hate snow. You know, God says rejoice when? Evermore. Amen. And, you know, being thankful, he says here. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. So he's talking about an attitude within, that of joyfulness, that of prayerfulness, that of thanksgiving. Did you notice here? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wow. Have you noticed that thankful people seem to have it put together in other ways too? I mean, when they're appreciative, I mean, they got a good attitude towards others because they're appreciative. They have a good attitude towards God because they're appreciative. It really does something in our lives. It's not our text for today. Matter of fact, it's the next verse. It says, "Quench not the Spirit." And what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with an attitude that's going towards God. Quench not the Spirit. Not having the wrong attitude towards the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, "Despise not prophesying." Having an attitude to his leadership that comes to us from godly saints. I think especially those who were prophets that came before us, the apostles. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Attitude that's good towards God's leadership through his truth. And then an attitude to his leadership in holiness, abstaining from even the appearance, he says, of evil. These proper kind of attitudes will bring about something in our life. Notice verse 23. What's it start with? And. I've had an interesting week. I've been studying some of the scriptures and just prepositions. Do you know if we use prepositions right, it will help us to understand the Word of God more clearly? And sometimes we have these preconceived ideas. We come to Scripture and we don't really stop and think about what it's saying. And here's this little word, "and." What's it doing? It is tying it in with what we've just heard. And the very God of peace, what's He going to do? Sanctify you. How's it written? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. In other words, completely. And so we have the proper attitudes in our lives. It brings about the sanctification of God as He is setting us apart for His work. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to use these things to make us into better individuals for His sake. Of all the things that are listed, all the commands that we have here, I bring us back to verse number 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Let's focus there for just a little bit. This implies that man has the capability to resist the Spirit of God. This implies that because God says don't do it, that we can resist God. Man is made by God to be His own sovereign. You and I have the privilege to do what we want to do. Most of you are here tonight because you want to be. Now, there may be a few here tonight. You're here because somebody made you. But I hope that's not the case. And you make those decisions because we do what we really want to do. And we are able to do that because God's made us that way. Matter of fact, God is not going to coerce us to do it His way. Man is able to resist all moral forces, all other men, all satanic forces, and even God. In Acts 7:51, He says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Even though we resist, we must also remember that God maintains His sovereignty over man. And God does so by rewarding or by punishing us according to the use of our free will. He doesn't make us, but He can make us sorry we did. God doesn't make us, but God can bring about punishment. God can bring about rewards as a result of what we do do. By the way, do you know human government, whatever it might be, whether it's the government of the land, the government in your home, or whatever, human government uses this same principle. Men are put in irons to prevent them from doing evil because they have done it in the past. And by the same token, we can have freedom when we obey the laws of the land. Commerce, even, what's it do? It rewards people by the same principle and gives them paychecks according to their work performed, or severance for those who don't do it. You and I today have the privilege to do what we want with the Spirit of God. But God warns us, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. To quench it, I believe, indicates that there is a strife that can take place. Galatians chapter 5, I believe, deals with this a great deal. He says in verse 17, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And so we have this battle that takes place. And the old fleshly nature wants to go against the leadership of the Spirit of God. And we've got to come to the spot where we make the decision not to quench that Spirit in our lives. When the flesh is in control, we find from Scripture in chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, there is much evil. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." All these things that take place when the flesh is in control. But when the Spirit is in control, there's much good. We find in the same verses, almost just a little bit later, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against such there is no law. Hallelujah. So there is within us this manifestation. The Holy Spirit of God attempts to gain access to our will through a process I'm going to call reasoning. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So here we have the Holy Spirit of God wants us to come before God and reason with Him. To stop and to think and to use our minds that we might make decisions based upon godly principles and not our own desires. And aren't we glad today that God reasons with lost men? Aren't you glad today that God reasoned with you to the spot that you came to put your trust in Him? The Spirit of God wants to reunite us with God by seeking for us to realize our sinfulness and cry out for His forgiveness. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And the Spirit of God begins to work in our lives. How does He do it? Oh, you know the answer to that. He convinces us of sin. We sometimes call that conviction. He uses the law of God to do that in our lives. And the law of God reveals to you and I our past sins and our present sins. In the book of Galatians, again in chapter 3, verse 24, he says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith." And so the Holy Spirit of God is reasoning with us and showing to us our sins from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the wickedness of even our very heart. It's not just the things we do, but it's that which is within us, the propensity we have. The Bible says it very clearly in Jeremiah 17, "The heart is deceitful above how much? All things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So the Spirit of God is there seeking to convince us. He's reasoning with us that we might come to Him. But men convince themselves that they are all right and resist Him. Let me give you some thoughts here. I believe we do that in a couple of different ways. One way is we disallow His speaking to our heart. Boy, this is the modern age. By being so busy. Being so busy, we don't have time to really stop and think about some things. Keeping ourselves busy doing this, doing that, doing the other thing, running here, running there, whatever it is, that we don't have to stop and think. And so we're not able to stop and reason with God. God is left out of the thoughts. We seek after our pleasures and we go for this and we go for that and we set our sights on these things and not allow God to do that. This sin of quenching the Spirit's voice in our hearts seals all other sin to our account and just makes salvation impossible. But by the same token, God reasons with saved people. And you and I, so often in our lives, and here's what we're talking about especially, we are quenching, not allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us. Not allowing Him to use His Word in our lives. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. He comes to live within. If you tonight, if you have some understanding of the Word of God, it's because the Spirit of God opened your mind to it. Tonight, if you're saved and there's some harsh things that come your way, but you feel some comfort, the Holy Spirit of God brings that comfort. He might do it through an individual that He places upon their heart to speak to you and to say some kind words to you, maybe a card, who knows what it might be. But you have those comforting things. Matter of fact, even the conviction you have and the thoughts, "Hey, I'm not doing this right," that's the Holy Spirit of God. He's seeking to reason with us. He indwells us, and He is seeking to bring about a purity in our lives. Notice verse number 23. Again, what's the objection? "The very God of peace may" what? "Sanctify you wholly." That's in a sense of completeness. And so we have this Spirit of God working in us. And He does it in so many different ways. In the Word of God, we find that He talks about the Spirit of God coming in. And one of the things He talks about is being baptized in fire. Folks don't understand that one. They think that that's the fire of the gift of tongues because it was flames of tongues He found talking there. No, that's not talking about that. It's talking about some trials. And Peter, later, he talks about the fiery trials that will come to our life. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's He doing? He is allowing things to come into our lives to purify us. You say, you mean the problem I'm having at work is for my benefit? Probably. You mean some of these trials I'm facing, some of the financial difficulties, or my car just broke down, that's from God? Yeah, it's teaching us some things. God does all those things. Well, I thought God cared about me. For whom the Lord loveth, He what? Chasteneth. And so God is doing some things in our lives to bring us to that spot of holiness. Don't quench the purification process that God brings into your life. How do we put out a fire? Any of you ever worked with a volunteer fire department? Any of you ever put out a fire? You put out a fire? I know a few folks have started one. Nick, I won't tell on you. I'm just thinking of a Boy Scout outing that you were on one time and tried to burn down the whole forest or something. I don't remember what the deal was. What's that? And it got pretty big? Whatever. How do we put them out? What's the first thing you think of? How do you put a fire out? Water. A fire is hot. Water is what? One of the objectives of the water is what? To cool it down. Cool it down. I want you to think about for a moment. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit of God because we have a cold attitude. Because of the coldness of our hearts. And we don't allow Him to really to move and to work in us. And we're quenching that Spirit of God. But we throw water on it. What else can we do to a fire? How can we put a fire out? Baking soda. I wasn't putting this in my apps. Hang on, I got to reapply. There's got to be some app there. Wasn't a thing, but yeah, you can put baking soda. Actually, baking soda is the very thing, basically the thing I was thinking of. We can throw dirt on it. Or a number of things. We can take a blanket and throw over it. What are we trying to do? We're trying to suffocate it. Think of the word dirt especially. And sometimes we quench the Spirit of God because of the dirtiness in our life. Though God is trying to quench it out, though God's trying to burn it out, we just throw more dirt upon it and don't allow Him the process He's trying to do. How else can we put a fire out? If we're out in the forest and the forest is on fire, what's one of the things they do? They dump water on it with airplanes. They have firefighters out there. But what's one of the best things they can do? Take away the fuel. It's interesting now if you visit some of our national forests. In the last few years, they finally discovered one of the reasons we're having such big forest fires is because through the years we've not allowed forest fires, and all this dead debris has come down upon the floor of our forest, and it's left so much there that when the fires do come through, they're hotter than they have been in the past. And so what they've learned from that is, hey, wait a minute, we need to go in there and take that stuff out of there. And not long after they really discovered that, I don't remember where we was at, but we were somewhere, one of our national forests, and we saw all these big piles of wood. And people had gone in there, whether these volunteers or they'd hired them, I don't know, and they had grabbed all this and put it in big piles. And I assumed they were going to haul that away someplace and make use of it, but they was pulling out of there. So if the fire started, there'd not be as much fuel. And the Lord in our life is trying to do some work as He's trying to burn away some things in our lives, and He's trying to purify us with His fires. And what do? We remove ourselves from the fire. And sometimes we really get agitated with God because it's going on and we don't want any part to do with it. And why is God treating me so bad? Rather than letting God do His work. One of the prime examples is when we have the death of a loved one. And it's a natural process that we're going to go through with grieving and so forth. But some people want to get mad at God, when indeed God could use that in our lives to help us to understand His presence even more. Because through the grieving process, especially somebody very close to us, that we might cling on to Him more than ever before. And so God's doing some things. He says, quench not the Spirit. And you and I so often in our lives, we do that. Because we have really kind of the wrong attitude towards God. Not allowing Him to do the work that He wants to do. Because the Spirit of God, one of the things He's going to do is seek to purify us, and purification so often comes by the fire. One of the things we do, by the way, as we remove ourselves from that process of God, we also sometimes remove ourselves, or remove that which can do the greatest work in our lives. And I'm thinking especially of being in the Word of God. Being in the house of God. Allowing God to what? Use His Word to do what needs to be done. And so we're absent from reading the Word of God. We're absent from the house of God. And what we're doing? We are quenching the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a couple hard questions. Do you right now, right in this present time, experience blessings from prayer and study of the Word of God? Or is it just from memories gone by? Is it a present experience, or is it only in the memory from maybe weeks ago, or maybe months ago? Have you removed yourself from that wonderful fire of God that wants to purify you? Quench not the Spirit of God. How many believe tonight there's power in the Word of God? You believe that? Is there power in the Word of God to change your destination from hell to heaven? Definitely. Is there power in the Word of God to show us the direction to go? Definitely. But if we don't allow it to, because we have the ability to resist it, can it have its effect? Are we allowing that right now? Today, November 30th. Are we allowing that today? Will we allow it tomorrow, December the 1st? Will we allow it the following day, December 2nd? Do we allow it that spot? Do we allow God to do that? Or are we in the position of resisting Him right now? And will we do it tomorrow? All I can say is I know right now we've all done it in the past somewhere. And if it's right now, now's what we need to take care of. Nothing we can do about last month, but we can take care of right now. And quit resisting the Spirit of God's leadership and how He wants to work in our lives. He wants to do it through His Word. You see, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. What's truth? Thy Word is truth. And God is seeking to set us apart through that And yet somehow we quench Him. We resist Him. We're able to do it because God made us that way. But by the same token, we're able to allow Him to work completely in our lives. It's really up to us. What do we want? What do we want? If we choose not to, God, because He's sovereign, will allow things to take place that hopefully will say to us eventually, that was a bad decision. But if we choose to listen to Him and follow the blessings He brings our way, they are phenomenal. Amen. Only you can make the decision not to quench the Spirit of God. He wants to set you apart. You. I was going to say not your sister. He wants to set her apart too. But He's after you. Do you know that? He's after you. He's got a special spot for you. I will scare you to death if I was to tell you what I think it is for you. God has something for you. If you don't resist Him, don't quench Him. I'm serious. Wow. I look at the young people in this room, some of you young families. It's exciting. Wow. This mind that has historical things upon it. I get you mixed up. That's hysterical and this is historical. And the things God can do with that. Wow. You may be large with child. Do you ever think about what this child might be someday? You raise it. I hate to use the word yet. I don't know if it's boy or girl. I don't know if you know. I don't care. It's one of those. I've got this narrowed down. It's pink or blue. One or the other. And the influence that you could have. You got one, now two. Doubling yourself. I think it's the same to you. And the influence that you can have in lives, it is phenomenal. You have no idea what sets there available if we don't resist the Spirit of God and how He wants to set us apart. Wow. It is amazing what God can do in lives. Amen? I tell you what, that'll get you percolating a little bit. And this guy's going to come to me after this. What is it you think God wants me to do? It's for you to find out. I know. I ain't going to tell you. Let God do it. Okay? It's exciting. Amen? Wow. The things God has for you. I'm looking at two families, these kids here. Not only do they have great influence, but what they can produce out of that. Whew, it's amazing. Even if he does wear all these tennis shoes out. It's amazing what God can do. I heard about you tonight, boy. Yeah. Isn't it exciting? Girls for Christ. They got enough of them around there. Oh, my goodness. I was teased her tonight. The only reason they quit having kids is because they couldn't think of any more C words to name them. I don't know what the next girl would have been. Chucky, I guess. I don't know. God's good. Amen. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You this evening that You are so concerned about us. Oh, God, You have wondrous things on the horizon for us. You're wanting to set us apart for some things. And sometimes we look at it and think, well, it's not very great, but really, what You have set aside for each one here is absolutely stupendous. Oh, God, help us to see that and to recognize it. Some in this room tonight think, well, I just got a little job at church, and I help a couple of kids in Master Club. A couple of kids that have a soul, a will, that can be changed for eternity. The opportunity that is before them, help them to see the magnificence of your calling. Lord, bless us and work in our hearts. And oh God, help us to see when we're quenching you, when we're stifling your work in our lives with our selfishness. Oh God, work in us tonight. Maybe there's a need here tonight that just needs to be taken care of. Perhaps there's something that's just, they know it's stifling your effect in their life. And they just need to come and give it to you and allow you that spot to move and to work in their lives. Cause it to take place this night. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at, please. Christina, go ahead and play.